Hi, this is Pastor Chuck Allen, and welcome back to another Sugar Hill Church weekday podcast. It's Wednesday, October 12, and let's jump into the first part of a three-part podcast series on parenting. Oh my stars, six girls, blended families, two weddings, four college graduations, two in college now. Man, have I learned the hard way. I'm no authority on parenting, and at times I feel like a guy by the name of Charles Shedd, who used to do a seminar on parenting when he was single, and he called it How to Raise Your Kids. Then he said, after he got married, he changed the title to some suggestion for parents. And then after he had his first kid, he changed it to Feeble Hints to Fellow Strugglers. And after he had three kids, he said he stopped giving the lecture altogether because everything he said was a lot easier said than done. Again, I'm no authority, but I will tell you this. One of the things that has really bothered me is why is it that godly parents have kids that go astray? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? I mean, why? I don't know the answer to that. I don't think there is a single answer. I don't think you can know that. There are a lot of factors, and I think a lot of parents carry a lot of guilt thinking that they're the only thing responsible for their own kids. Let me just stop and say to you, you're not the only thing responsible for the kid. There are a lot of other factors you don't have any control over, and God has given them and us a free will. Now, you know, as a pastor, more than maybe many people or most people, I see the hurt and the heartbreak that happens in a family when one family member chooses a lifestyle or chooses to go astray, and it messes everything else up. It hurts. Every holiday has tension. Every gathering becomes a problem. You know, I don't know the reasons for all that. But I want to talk about it. What do you do when your children grow beyond your control? And we see three stages in the story of the prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, we begin reading in verse 11. It says, Jesus said, there's a man who had two sons, and the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them, and not long after that, the younger son got all he had together and set out for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. Stage one is rebellion. In every parent-child relationship, there's going to be a struggle. It's called a struggle for control. Who's in charge? At birth as a parent, you're 100% in control. But as your child grows, the power gets transferred. Your control is not permanent. Kids want control sooner than we want to give it. They think they deserve it sooner than they're ready to have it. Kids have a sin nature like we do. If you don't believe it, you can absolutely look to the scripture. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you've never been a parent, then we really don't understand how that text and that nature is birthed into us. Here we have a classic confrontation. Verse 12, Father, give me. Circle give me in the scripture. That's the root of rebellion. Give me. If I could just do as I please, if I could just be my own boss, if I didn't have to answer to anyone, life would be great. He was fed up with the farm. But you see, rebellion's unpredictable. This guy has two sons. They're radically different. One's strong-willed, one is complacent. Both of them had problems, though. You can never tell which one is going to be the rebellious one. It's not age-related. Here it is. The younger son was the one who caused the problem. When does it happen? I don't know. I've known some kids in diapers who were controlling the family already. In verse 13, it says, he got all he had together and set off for a distant country and squandered it all. This guy heads for Hollywood. He's going to live it up. He's going to, you know, drive down the Sunset Strip and, you know, in his new Beamer in Jerusalem. He's having one great time, but evidently this guy had grown way beyond his parents' control. Oh, my stars. I don't know when it was, but I'm kind of guessing this guy's probably 15 to 19. Let me give you a few rules that I think might help you. Number one, let him go. Just let them go. The younger son set off, and the dad didn't chase him. He released him. From birth, we're preparing our kids to leave, aren't we? I mean, when do you let them go? If your 18-year-old came to you with this question, would you give in to it? Well, probably no way. Money is one of the ways we attempt to control our kids, even after they're married. This may have seemed foolish to his dad. No doubt he tried to reason with him, but to no avail. You know what? One day it's going to explode. Let them go, but that's hard. Number two, let them make their own mistakes. I think one of the greatest things we can do in our life is recognize that we can let our children learn on their own, including the most painful lessons. You know, it's kind of interesting when it says in the text, he squandered his wealth on wild living. I mean, don't you think the dad already saw that coming? I mean, seriously, I have seen our kids make some really goofball decisions. Rebellion is always a waste of life. Kids are not too wise with money. They tend to waste it. Do you think that his father knew his son was going to waste it? Yeah, of course he did. Do you think he knew his son was headed for trouble? Of course he did. You think he was tempted to send letters of advice? I'm positive he did. But you know, sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. And when we can express grace at the time that grace is most needed, then we'll let them make their own mistakes and our kids will grow from it. The hardest is number three, let them reap the consequences of their own choices. You know, there's a price tag for rebellion. It says, after he spent everything, he began to be in need. There's a price tag for rebellion. You know what the scriptures say in Galatians 6:7? Whatever a man sows, he's also going to reap. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. What you sow, you're going to reap. So in verse 14, it says, after he spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country. He began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country who set him into his fields to feed pigs. This is a Jewish kid who would never consider eating pork, much less raising pork. And yet there he was. The family and they had to have been embarrassed. Here's a pretty wealthy farmer and his kids living like a bum feeding pigs. Oh my stars, they probably felt some self-condemnation. Where'd we go wrong? I think God understands that, but children have a free will. James Dobson, a Focus on the Family, says that once a kid reaches grade school, already at that point, the parent is no longer the primary influence in their life. Can you imagine that? And yet I know it's true. This kid is reaping the consequences of his own decision. He spent everything and then began to be in need. And there's a great temptation here as parents, and that is to intervene and to fix it. But to send the care package, wire the money, bail them out, fly out to see them. The father knew something very important that all of us need to learn, especially me. Nature has a way of disciplining our children in ways that we can't. Don't short-circuit the natural consequences. Let them reap the consequences of their own decision. It's those kinds of things that we remember the longest. The dad didn't intervene, and he let him hit rock bottom. But because he didn't intervene, they came to stage two. You know what stage two is? Reevaluation and regret. And I'll finish this tomorrow on the Sugar Hill Church Weekday Podcast. God bless you. See you then.